Welcome to another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean,
You're not happy.
Aren't I?
You know, you came in, you got a dark cloud over your head today.
Have I?
You're not happy. What is bugging you today?
Is it the SNFL starting?
I think it could be.
Well, they've got the Port Power reserves and the Clothes reserves in again.
You must be happy about that, getting back after last year. They missed out because of COVID. AFL said they weren't able to get in there, and then they brought them back. They've 3-year contract or something. They're definitely in there for the long run now, for the long haul.
Well, to be completely honest, I thought last season, even though it was affected by the pandemic and it was a shortened season, I actually enjoyed it a lot more without the power and the close.
So you would prefer the AFL reserves teams not to be playing in the SANFL?
Well, to be completely honest and, putting a lot of thought in it, no, I don't want them.
So how about if Port had their own team solely in the SANFL? Because Port traditionally have been a long-standing member, obviously, of the SANFL. Crows, no.
Hang on, no, Port's only just started this year.
No, don't, come on now, don't be like that. That's just semantics. Port Adelaide have won more SANFL premierships than anyone, haven't they? Come on, I'm right there.
Even though
I'm
not 37.
Okay, so we know that they're a critical part of the SANFL. They have been.
Of the history.
So what would be the problem then if why they're playing? Because surely they are a big part of the SANFL, where Crows are not.
Let me give you some figures, okay. The SANFL have a salary cap for the 8 traditional clubs, okay? Now, two years ago.
One but Port Adelaide and the Crows.
Yes, Port Adelaide and the Crows have AFL listed players, and they have what, up to 44 players on their books. And
that's what I believe. Understand. Yep.
What is it, 22 players in an AFL game?
I don't really understand this bit, but what I'm assuming is obviously the 22 that get picked to play AFL, the other 22, the rest of the squad, are then going to play in the SANFL competition. Is that correct?
If available, you've got injuries, you've got a range of different issues where they might rest a player or whatever. They might take an emergency with them if they're playing interstate or if they've got someone under a bit of an injury cloud. And that 44 is made up of the rookies as well. And the rookies are on $85,000 a year.
So if, let's say, they don't have enough players in that second group, where do they get their extra players from?
Do
they have a pool of players that train with them or that they bring in?
Yeah, they have a top-up players. They nominate top-up players from various clubs, whether country clubs or the old amateur league type clubs, and they train with them once a week, and they make up, on average, probably about a quarter of the team.
Okay. And so the point you're making here is that the SANFL have bought out a salary cap. They've really reduced it.
Yes.
Now, did that happen last? Because last year it was even different with COVID. Am I right in thinking there were no player payments?
Correct.
So they've come out this year then, start of a new season, and basically slashed what would have been the salary cap from the 2019 season.
2019, $400,000 per club. 2021, $210,000.
That's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Now, what is their rationale there? That's a massive cut.
Yeah.
So is it because clubs can no longer afford to pay $400,000 a year?
Well, look, with the pandemic and other issues, clubs were struggling to, raise funds, and money was fairly scarce. So I can understand that thinking, but at the end of the day, some clubs will be able to afford it, but some clubs can't. So it's a pretty tough issue. But the point is, you could technically have half a Port Adelaide or Adelaide team, their players could be earning more individually than the club they're playing against.
In total?
In total.
Which certainly from the level that I'm looking at from, which is just across the top of there, it doesn't seem very fair. That doesn't seem fair.
Well, it's probably just another nail in the coffin of the traditional SANFL competition. I mean, most of those clubs will probably survive in one form or another, but it's just the focus is all on the AFL. And I question that because if that happened that way in other clubs, other sports, it would be detrimental to those sports. The focus on general sports like soccer and baseball and these types of sports. So there's not the money in those types of clubs as there is in AFL footy. So as a consequence of that, the effect that a national comp has on football, soccer, those types of sports isn't as great as the AFL is. The AFL is an all-encompassing competition. They actually try to change the name of Aussie rules to AFL. That's how dominant the sport is.
So it seems to me from an outsider looking in, and, you know, I certainly follow different footy teams, but I'm not a passionate diehard like yourself. I mean, you love your footy. You especially love Central Districts. You love the SANFL. But from looking again from where I am, when the AFL established itself as a national competition, it seemed to me that from that point on, it was always going to be difficult for the state leagues to really then prosper.
Well, yes and no. The biggest problem with the AFL, which started in 1990, it was just a transference of the VFL, the Victorian State League, into the AFL, inviting other clubs. I mean, what do you have now? 10 Victorian clubs in the AFL,
and then it's certainly still, you know, Victorian dominated, isn't it?
And that's wrong. What they should have done is they should have done it by population and popularity. So, in effect, maybe grab 4 Victorian teams, 2 from South Australia, 2 from Western Australia, maybe 1 from New South Wales, 1 from Queensland, 1 from Tasmania, maybe 1 from Northern Territory. That would have been more.
But we had not have had the same, like, clubs now here jumping up and down because they can see that them continuing as a club at risk. It would have been the same back then for those really strong Victorian teams that had are big clubs, massive followings compared to what we've got here in South Australia. They would have been crying foul as well.
Why not have 2-3 tiers of football like they have the soccer in the in England, where they Division 1, 2, 3, you know, Premier League and all that. But obviously with South Australia and Western Australia, they'd play in their own division, and the eastern states could play in theirs and then have a promotion relegation. So if a team from Victoria is under, say, the second half of the competition, they risk getting demoted down to their state league, and the top team in that state league come eastern gets promoted.
If you established a second tier competition, don't you think that some of the bigger SANFL clubs would want to enter that?
Yeah, absolutely.
They would see, hey, we can market ourselves differently, we can attract more sponsors, we can put ourselves on a national stage. And so these are the things that are always going to break down tradition, aren't they? So as soon as you have that, like AFL exists, we want to put teams in there. Why? Because it's the biggest comp going around. It's got the broadcasting rights. It's got all the sponsors. And, of course, let's face it, the crowds have followed. Like, there's no problem getting crowds to the AFL. There's a problem getting crowds to the SANFL. If you had a second-tier comp, it wouldn't surprise me that there'd be what big clubs would we have in Adelaide that go, yep, I'll put my hand up. We can play in that.
Well, you'd have Norwood, you know, Sturt. There's a few clubs. Central District wouldn't really be in that realm of possibility at the moment, but back when they were successful, from 2000 to 2012, they would be probably the most qualified team. Everything's like, you know, roundabouts and whatever, you know, they'll just, what goes around comes around.
So it seems that no matter which way you turn, again, and I apologise for saying this because this is a bit, you know, hurt you exactly, but it seems that SANFL, its days are limited.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever competition you're going to go in, it seems that that competition's really under the pump.
Well, I saw in 2014 when Port Power and the Crows took all the players away from the clubs. Previously, all the extra players from the Crows and Power went to individual clubs, which was good for the competition. It wasn't the best answer, but it was good for the competition. They then just played against SANFL clubs, and it turned so many hardcore supporters off that the crowds almost, you know, of the regular people that go to all the games, I reckon 30% of them just dropped off in protest because of that.
Would it be fair to suggest that the regular crowd, the traditional SANFL crowd, is now an ageing population?
Oh, it's always ageing.
But in the sense that they're getting older and maybe not going to the footy as much, whereas the younger supporters now of football are going to see the Crows and Port play.
Well, yes and no. The trouble is that traditionally fathers took their sons and daughters to watch games, became a memory for them, and they wanted to take their sons to games, et cetera, so they got indoctrinated to it. And that sort of went by the wayside a bit. And you used to, you know, you used to have, like, in our area, in the northern area, you had Central District League players as teachers around the area, like, you know, Richard Cochran and Richard Davis and a lot of these types of people, Beefy Andrews. And you still do to a certain extent today. You've had Paul Thomas and Matthew Slade. But the difference is that the students would all be wearing Central District tops, for argument's sake, in our area. I know when I went to school, David Sable, who was a league player with Centrals, was my grade six teacher. But I was always a Central District supporter. But I remember there was a lot of Sturt and Port Adelaide supporters. This is like 1968. They were two of the best clubs. And I remember when David Sable was our teacher the first day, he sort of asked us who we barracked for, and I was up the front, and he said, "Who barracked for Centrals?" And I stuck my hand up proudly and looked around thinking that there wouldn't be too many people in the class, but every kid in the class had his hand up. So he converted those to Central
supporters. You said 1968, so we're talking half a century ago.
I'm talking about my generation.
I know, and that's the thing, like, things have changed.
Yeah, that's...
I know you get upset about it, and that's understandable because this has been your life and that's what you love, but it seems that nothing lasts forever, does it?
Look, I was just to follow on what I wanted to say about it is... Then you got the Crows and Power coming out to the schools and doing the clinics, and of course all the kids sort of wear that type of Guernseys, you know, the Port and the Crows, et cetera, et cetera. And they're not getting enough clinics from the clubs anymore, and they're not getting enough of that. You know, you've got to follow your local club. That seems to have died out quite a bit. And you're right, there are changes. I can see that. It doesn't mean they'll have to like it.
Let's go back to the salary cap, because that to me seems a massive drop. Now, would SANFL turn around and say, you know what, we're doing that to protect the clubs because we don't want them. They can't afford to spend that money. We want to have them in a better financial position. And so would they argue that they're trying to do that to look after the clubs? Would that be something that they would suggest?
Well, what happened to all the money they made from selling Football Park? Surely they can give every club $1 million or whatever so that they can become financially stable?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. It seems that SANFL for a period of time would have been making a lot of money through the AFL licences, etc. Now, I know there's money that needs to go out to keep those clubs afloat, but it would seem that also they would have been making a fair bit of money when you speak to different people. But it doesn't seem that there's a lot of money then to now be spread around.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to all that money, but... you know, the thing is that you get a situation with a $210,000 salary cap. You know, you've got guys that are worth twice as much, and they'll get that money by playing with a country team.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. Like, that, I'm assuming that the people running SANFL are footy people, and surely they would know, hang on, if we really reduce this, it is going to be now players are going to look and say, hang on a minute, you know, do I play another season or two with the SANFL club for this amount, or do I now play a couple of seasons in the amateur league or near country league, get some other perks from playing in those teams and make just as much money and probably not have the same responsibility? So, I mean, your older sort of players are certainly going to look at that. Your experienced players might look at that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you're dead right. But the 25, 20 to 27, 28, those types of players are the backbone of the SNFL. They're the ones that have got the experience. They're not going to go to the AFL clubs. They're your captains. They're the leaders of the club. They're the ones that hold teams together. You just look at when the Gowans boys come over, and they started when they were like 22 and they went right through. Those experienced guys, having those in a club make all the difference. Now, a lot of those guys, they only need to train one day a week and play for a country club and get more money. So there's no incentive to keep those types of players who aren't going to play AFL. And that's where I think it's wrong. I think the thinking from the AFL down is let's get the younger guys in and see if they can make AFL.
It seems to be, you know, we need to, you need to use your clout to get someone, we need to speak to someone directly from the SANFL. We need to get some answers about this just to make you feel better.
Yeah, maybe there's a couple of people I know, maybe we can get them on soon, eh?
Let's get them in.
So ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.